This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
No one knows where we are. It's really just the two of us.
There was an accident with the car. Where's my girlfriend, April? There were people in the house.
Nobody has lived there for years.
I saw someone.
Start to cleanse my soul and I feel it every way. Not a soul will take my place.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila and Arvin. We spent yesterday throwing back to Denzel Washington, and that was in preparation for today, where we are talking about a brand new, relatively brand new movie that just dropped on Netflix, starring John David Washington, directed by Ferdinando Cito Filomarino, and it's called Beckett.
If you're a fan of John David Washington, and if you've watched him in some of his best performances, things like Black Klansman or Tenet, I'll just forewarn you that you will be very, very disappointed by this. Almost to the point, if you're like me, where you kind of start questioning whether you ever really liked him in the first place.
We liked him. Don't be like this.
We loved him.
I still do. I think I just need to rewatch something that's not Beckett.
So, when Netflix announced at the top of the year, like beginning of the year, that they were going to release a new movie every week, we knew this was going to happen, right? At some point, like if you randomly picked a movie in the middle of August, it was going to be Beckett. Like the Beckett had to happen at some point. There's no way they could consistently release top-notch movies every week for like a whole year. And I think it was a perfectly fine middling Friday night movie that I probably won't remember in about a week. I've already forgotten like most of it. I don't care much for the story or why it happened, but it was just that. It was a good way to pass 2 hours for me personally.
It's sort of like a subpar The Fugitive set in Greece, and then you add in politics. That's pretty much the story, because Beckett is about Beckett, who is an American tourist traveling with his girlfriend. And one night they get into a car accident, and from then on, he's just hunted relentlessly by locals and he gets ensnared in this wider web of conspiracy. And that's pretty much it. But that's also kind of all the movie wants you to know, because whenever it is that someone sits down, I think whenever people sit down in Beckett, it's a warning sign, because they're going to start expositioning. And the exposition almost never holds up, because they're going to sit there and be like, you see, Beckett, the thing is, the president says, and you're like, no, I just know. And so, yeah, it's kind of a very odd film. I think the reason why Sharmila started in on this, you know, hardcore attack of John David Washington is because he was probably the main reason, the main draw, right, for a lot of us to think, ah, this is going to be good, because he's usually quite good. But I don't know. I don't think this movie holds up. It is exactly that. It is the movie that you watch and then you don't really remember.
He's also on screen like 99% of the film.
And alone, a lot of the time. Yeah.
So, okay, I will give it that it's not necessarily his fault. The film gives him so little to work with. The story is so paper thin. Half the time, you're not even sure why it's taking this much time. To be fair, about a third of the way in, I was thinking to myself, oh, am I seeing this really clever, like, indie approach to the Man on the Run film? Because the one thing I liked about the film is that it's set in the Greek countryside. So, Beckett and his girlfriend, played by Alicia Vikander, are both sort of on this holiday in Greece, and not just sort of the cities, but in parts of Greece that you never see. So a lot of this on the run stuff happens through spaces and places and scenery that you never get to see otherwise. And I guess just being trapped at home, that was kind of cool. And I enjoyed that. And I thought, oh, maybe that's where this is going. But then no, it just kind of devolves. And then it becomes an indie that halfway through just decides it wants to be some weird political thriller, but never follows through on it either.
I like how we're all like John David Washington sympathizers, or his PR people were like, don't mind this movie. It was, you know, he did it for the paycheck. You know, he's a good actor. What genre do you guys think this movie is in? And that was my biggest issue. I don't know if it's an action movie with a name like Beckett. You would expect like an action film, like a John Wick.
It can't be an action film. He fails at every action setup.
Action thing. So it's not an action film. And then I thought maybe it's a political thriller, but it's not that either. Maybe it's a political...
Not very thrilling.
it's not a drama. So what... I think that was my biggest problem with this movie. I have no idea what it is or what it's trying to do. And it goes halfway trying to be a bunch of different things.
So you know how for the longest time we used the term Hallmark movie? You know, and it's meant to denote a certain type of film. It's like there's always going to be a heartwarming Christmas sequence. There's going to be a fire roaring by the, you know, and then family sitting around, eggnog, all that stuff. And that's a Hallmark movie. A Netflix movie, I think, is what this is, which is a bunch of algorithms thrown together. So it's like, okay, we know you like action, so we'll give you some of that. We know you like political thrillers, we'll give you some of that. And we'll do it all with a lot of budget. You can clearly tell we're in Athens. You can clearly see that we've hired a lot of extras. Everything looks fine. But that doesn't mean all that much in terms of the story or memorableness. So if I had to kind of categorize it, it's a Netflix mid-tier. You know, it's not one of their so bad, it's good. It's not one of their, I was actually waiting for this and it turned out amazing. It's Netflix mid-tier.
And sadly, it's not even actually produced by Netflix. Someone managed to make a mid-tier Netflix film without even actually trying to please Netflix. You can see that it's made by an Italian director, actually, Ferdinando Cito Filomarino. It's his first English full-length feature. And you can kind of see the vibe of it. It's got a slightly European quality to the way scenes are filmed. And those are things I sort of appreciated. The technical aspects of a lot of this wasn't bad, which was what made me upset about the fact that the story was so bad. You know, you have a great actor, you have a kind of cool look to the film, but nobody thought to think, well, the story really doesn't make sense or take you anywhere.
I have a theory, though. Do you think if it was called something else, that we would have expected something else as well?
Like,
if
it was supposed to be called something else, actually, not Beckett.
See, because Beckett doesn't make any sense. Watching it, I thought it's going to be some sort of real introspective movie about a person, right? But then you get this movie instead. So I'm thinking, what if it was called Run or Escape something, something? You know, those kinds of films.
American Tourist Mania. You know, something like that.
If it was, do you think like our brains would have expected something else or something different from the movie?
It was originally called, are you guys ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Born to be Murdered.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Beckett's way better.
So I think
like American Tourist Mania.
It's kind of there. I think the thing about Beckett is also that introspection, it doesn't follow through on, because it kind of implies it at the start. The first 15 minutes of the film before it all goes off the road, literally for Beckett, it's kind of very romantic. It's the only part of the movie where Alicia Vikander is really kind of doing much. And it's trying to, I think, establish a certain amount of chemistry between John David Washington's Beckett and Alicia Vikander's, is her name April? Yes, April. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's really trying to show how in love they are, how close they are, how intimate they are. And then it kind of doesn't do anything with that either. So it's strange because the way it's set up at the start, it does look as if there's going to be more character study or perhaps more study of the relationship. But as is, from the time that they get into the car accident and then move on from there, the movie then really literally loses the plot.
And you always think there's going to be more. You think there's going to be a twist, and not really. You think you're going to find out something, not really. I don't know. It's just a whole story that doesn't seem to understand or realize where it wants to go. Arvind, you said it doesn't know what it wants to be, and I completely agree. I think they thought that this was enough to have a charismatic actor and put him in a story that has him on the run. And, oh, that's enough. That's how The Fugitive worked.
And speaking about twists, you can see the twist coming from like a mile away. Mm. There are some decisions made in this film. The foreshadowing is so in your face that you know something's going to happen. You know somebody's going to be someone you think that they are not. And even the casting choices are so obvious that if you barely even knew them, you'd see a twist coming from a mile away. So even those didn't work. And I feel like with thrillers, quote unquote, like this, you need to not see the twist coming for them to be, at least to be fun. But when you know what's going to happen, then again, what is the point of the film, right?
We're talking about Beckett. So it just dropped on Netflix fairly recently. It stars John David Washington as the eponymous Beckett, and it was directed by Ferdinando Cito Filomarino. It takes place entirely in Greece, which, like we said, comes off quite well. Greece looks great. But we want to know, have you seen Beckett? Did you feel differently to us? Did you like it more, perhaps? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
I need help. I'm a US citizen. I was vacationing with my girlfriend.
I need a ride to Athens. That's where the US embassy is.
Are we in danger?
I know you're scared. I get it. But you don't have the whole picture.
Then who's after me?
This man's trying to kill me!
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila and Arvin. And together we are reviewing Beckett, which is a action thriller film, in the latest in the American tourist goes abroad, bad things happen to them kind of subgenre of action. And in talking about it, I wanted to bring up another film. So I'm curious whether either of you have seen Mary.
No, I haven't.
No.
Neither have I. neither had I until recently when I came across it and was surprised that there was a movie starring Gary Oldman and Emily Mortimer that I had never heard of. Now, you take those two people, Gary Oldman, Emily Mortimer, fantastic performers, and then you put them on a boat. You add a slasher element and a witch. And that,
what is this film?
Exactly. And that is Mary. And Mary had me thinking about Beckett, not just because they're both movies weirdly named after names, but also because I feel as if in every actor's filmography, it's littered with Beckett's and Mary's, right? I think that we're focusing on it now partly because it's the year in Malaysia where nothing is coming out on cinemas. And so what's out on streaming then becomes such a big deal. But the truth is that if we look at the grander scheme of why it is that actors take roles, who would have thought that Academy Award winner Commissioner Gordon, Gary Oldman, did a really subpar slasher flick?
So I'm glad you brought up Gary Oldman, because that leads us down a path that I think I'm going to be quite happy to take. I've watched Gary Oldman in Red Riding Hood, which is the worst film ever made. But he was great in it, because I think he completely realized and just sort of like chewed scenery, went to town with what was probably one of the worst slash best performances he's ever put in. Beckett could have gone that way. John David Washington could have gone that way. And I think I would have enjoyed it. I think I would have enjoyed it if he just realized this film is terrible. I'm just going to be OTT and have fun. The problem is he tries to make it good, guys.
Gary Oldman also attempts to elevate Mary. This is what I'm saying. Sometimes it happens to the best
of
them.
Never try to elevate the bad material. Just be bad and revel in it, and it'll be fun for the audience.
It'll be so much fun. And you say like subpar. I think the premise of Mary sounds amazing, with like a witch and a boat and a slasher. But yeah, I completely agree. Like this movie, he should have gone that way. He should have just dialed it to 11, turned into like Nicolas Cage in every movie that Nicolas Cage does.
The Nicolas Cage playbook, exactly.
And just enjoyed it. I want to say though that I know he gets compared to his father a lot. He gets compared to Denzel a lot. And that's a shadow to live under. It's a challenge to come out of that shadow. But I like John David Washington's performance, and I love the way he acts, because Denzel can be a lot sometimes. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but he is Denzel Washington for like a reason, right? And I like that John David is not that. He's very casual, very easy to watch on screen, but at the same time, he is also very magnetic and he can command like screen presence. He's never boring. So even in Beckett, he's never ever boring, and he never fails to be a good protagonist in the film. No pun intended with the protagonist, but yeah.
That I don't know, La. For me, he was boring in this. Not his fault, but boring.
So I wanted to talk about how we'd fix Beckett, because I think that the reason why we're kind of frustrated with it, and it's coming up over and over again, right, in our conversation, this idea of they could have, but they didn't. And I think it's because we know enough about the genre or the bare bones of this movie that you know what to expect. And then I think it's a bit of a disappointment in 2021 to have a movie that you know has been made so many times before done in the exact same way. So I think the question is how we could have shifted that around. I'm not sure I would have changed the story so much. I just think that considering the size, not the size of the cast, but the quality of the cast. We've talked about John David Washington and become, you know, just very intense apologists for him. But also it has Boyd Holbrook. There's Vicky Creeps is sort of a Greek activist kind of in the mix of things. Alicia Vikander, we mentioned, stars as Beckett's girlfriend. And I think each of them are not used enough. You know, they are substituted instead for us watching Beckett stumble through the Greek countryside, not speaking, just sort of rolling around because he's injured and, you know, and just trying to make his way in the world. But why would you do that if we don't know who Beckett is? You know, they haven't given us a lot of characterization with Beckett. And then the other characters, they don't give us enough of.
So if you're talking about how we would fix Beckett, I have two options. One being go full down the indie route. I would have liked that. The film has that vibe already. Mm-hmm. So keep things very pared down, serious, and make a proper political commentary, but indie. So, but the other thing, and the thing I really want to see, is that classic trailer shot of Alicia Vikander and John David Washington hand in hand leaping off a cliff while something huge explodes behind them. That's the movie. That's how you fix Beckett. Just turn it into a straight up stupid action thriller where they're on the run.
Because they were born to be murdered.
See, that title would have worked for that film.
If you had these titles in mind, then that's the only way you can go down, right? You have to make a John Wick in the Greek countryside. And that yes. sounds amazing. That yes. honestly sounds amazing with like shady bad guys and like a political undertone, you know, just like insert that in there. It could have worked. Like, honestly, it could have worked. And honestly, that's what I was expecting. I thought this was that movie. I should have seen the trailer before watching it, but that's my own fault.
So the trailer actually makes it look a lot better than it is.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
The other thing is that the reason all the things that we've liked John David Washington, and I come back to him because, again, he's in really 90% of the film alone, just kind of filling up the screen, and you have to enjoy watching him, which we ordinarily do. But the thing about John David Washington is all the things that we usually like, the casualness, the humor that's implicit in a lot of his performances, and the physical grace. Because I think one of the best things about watching John David Washington, and the reason why, even though his character in Tenet was similarly, I mean, it's not as if it's a fully fleshed out character there. It's not as if we know everything there is to know about the guy. But the reason why it works is because it plays on A, his natural charisma, and B, his physical grace. When he fights, when he runs, you enjoy watching that, which is all the ingredients of a good action star, right? You would have thought that that would be enough. But because he's playing an everyman, so you don't get the John Wick. You don't get the grace. Like, when someone comes at him with a knife, he gets stabbed multiple times, poorly. Like, I think I could have fought better than what he did. And, you know, that's fine, but it's not the most satisfying viewing experience.
No, it's not. And I think that goes back to just not knowing how to use him in a film, not knowing why they've cast him, what the story they're trying to tell. It is, you're right. The more I think about it, it's that classic, like, let's churn this out and see what happens film. It's just a pity that it has someone like John David Washington in it.
So we never do this on this show, but if you had to recommend this to someone on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you would definitely recommend, What would you give this film? And I'm trying to think about if someone asked me, should I watch this casually on a weekend? I have nothing else to do. I've seen everything on Netflix that I want to see. I would give it as a recommendation, not as a film, a 6, which is higher than I expected to give it, because it's not like a 4, 3, or 5 or whatever. But as a casual film, I think it works as a way to just waste time on a streaming service.
I would say don't watch this. Pick one of your sitcoms and rewatch that instead.
You're so dark. I am fully a 5 on this movie, because I watched it with the other people of my household who thought it was fine. I think who perhaps didn't come to it with the same expectations of John David Washington, always enjoy you, that I did, right? So they thought it was perfectly serviceable. When I asked them to tell me back the story at the end, because I was really kind of hazy on who the bad people were by the end, it gets very complex. They sort of could. So I think it's capable of holding attention if you come at it with really lowered expectations and understand that this is not going to set the world on fire. I'm not sure that this is really going to be anybody's favorite film ever. But as an entertaining thing to watch, to pass a couple of hours, I don't know. I it's a 5 for me.
Wow, that should be on the poster. Come at this with lowered expectations.
It's a 5 for me. Yeah.
That's for me.
You need to complete the phrase. Okay, we've been talking today about Beckett. We'd like to know, did you like it? I mean, did you like it more than we did? Did you like it more than Elise Sharmila did? Because she's really guns a-blazing, knives are out. Anyway, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. And of course, you can also write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.